B-Pod Studios.
We got back to the game, right? Jeter was a good swing, and then we didn't get outs in that inning. You know, we didn't make pitches. We were short, but we had guys that, you know, they'd done it before, you know, and Brage wasn't able to get people out there. Digman, he struggled, and that was it. You know, we had to use our high leverage guys in the middle of the game like that because we were running out of pitching. But you know, we got to be better, bottom line. You know, it doesn't matter if it's the Yankees or whoever. You know, we have to play better baseball. You know, the day started, you know, with ground ball to third. We throw the ball away. Seems like we didn't do enough this week. As far as the baseball part of it, right? We ran the bases. We struggled running bases defensively on the mound. You know, I mean, it was a tough week for us. And, you know, like Dan said earlier, before the game, it's a good time to reset, you know. Enjoy the All-Star break and be ready for Friday.
So I know the last week sucked. Of course it sucked. Who's going to argue that? But I don't think that means the season's over. The team is broken. I don't believe any of that. I just... How many times have we buried this Red Sox team or any team and said, that's it? Like, they're not good. I mean, it just happens way too often to do that.
So they're 12-26 against the AL East. We know they suck against the AL East. If they go 12-26 against their division in the second half, they would need to go 30-1 in the rest of their games to win 90. So you feel good about that?
No. So I'm going to go back to our conversation in the first hour, Murray, and say, you're right. They have to be better against the division because I don't like the odds on that. Is that really true there?
Yes. They would need to go 30-1 in the games outside of the division the rest of the way to win 90.
Now, that's funny.
No, that's a strong. Have you checked the math on that one?
Twice.
Okay. They have to be better against the division.
Well, I don't know. They might put Whitlock back in the rotation.
So, I just think they can be. I think they can be. This is not to dispute what they've done. I mean, I know what they've done. It's to talk about what baseball has become, which is, oh, for Pete's sake, just make the tournament. The Braves, they were a division winner, but they were the 12th of 12 teams, I think, or the 10th of 10 teams in the postseason and won it all. The Nationals, 2 years before, when they won it, there's some hellacious record at the All-Star break.
19-31 they were through their first 50.
Right, something like that.
06 Cardinals, one of those Giants teams, maybe two of those Giants teams. Look, in the last decade, I'll give you that. It's been just get hot at the right time. This thing just feels like a rudderless ship to me this year.
It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel good right now, but that's just not the way it works. So if you're in it and you don't, you know, quote unquote, go for it. I'm not telling you, like, sell the farm. Like, I'm not saying that. But if you're in the thing, you have a chance. Just by definition, the way that it works, no matter how bad it looks right now, it's just not the way it works in this sport. So if the Red Sox are in this position, August 2nd on the deadline, and they sell, shame on them. Oh, that would be absolutely atrocious. And they know it, and it's why they won't do it. As much as they want to right now, and as much as Chaim Bloom and John Henry would love to in their heart of hearts, they won't go through with it. It won't happen. And so that's one of the things we're talking about now, but also just picking our way through the last week. We'll go back to your calls here as promised. Nick in Providence. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Mike. So, Naz, I definitely share your rage with the whole Whitlock situation. That got out of hand and just I don't know what the hell they were doing. And so the Red Sox, in their most important stretch of the year, right, they went 4-10 against the AL East over these last 2 weeks. So, Mike, I know that we know what they've done, but talking about what they're going to do, it's August 1st. The Red Sox are 2-8 coming out of the break. They get swept by the Blue Jays. They lose to the Guardians. They lose to the Brewers. They get a game against each of those teams. They're literally 2-8 coming out of the break. This team is passed by the Orioles in the division, passed by the Orioles for the AL wild card. They're not going to have a choice. They have to sell. They're waiting for their opportunity. I agree. As of today, they shouldn't be sellers. They should be buying to try and get it fixed, come out of the break. But they're going to come out of the break with the same exact group of clowns, and they're going to look just as piss poor, and it's going to suck. And on August 1st, the day before the deadline, they're going to start selling because they just they can't get it together. They have no moxie. They have no nuts, no fortitude, whatever you want to call it. This team is falling apart day by day.
Okay. I disagree. So they have 10 games between the end of the All-Star break and the deadline? Or is there other games in there? You know, he said they're going to be 2-8 on August 2nd. Okay. The trade deadline's August 2nd, Tuesday, August 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
They come out of the All-Star break. Do they play on Friday? So that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
2, 3, 4, 5.
They
six,
played two
seven,
weeks of
eight,
games
nine.
And then they off the Monday after.
There might be a couple off days. So I disagree. You're wrong, caller. There's not enough time for them to play themselves out of it by the trade deadline. Yeah, you know, I was saying before, if they're 8 games out at the deadline, fine. Okay, sell. If it's over, then this is a different story. I'm telling you, if they're in the position they are in now, which is right at the playoff line, whether just above it or just below it, there's no way they should sell or will sell. And now I'm here to tell you, I didn't even realize the math there. They're not going to go 2-8. They'll be a little bit better than that. And who knows what if, you know, let's also remember one of the reasons they got passed in the wild card standings because isn't Seattle out of their boobs right now?
Yeah, 14 in a row.
Okay, well, water's going to seek its level there. I mean, so no, I'm sorry. By August 2nd, they're either going to be somewhere, they'll either be above the wild card line or no worse than 3 games out. My prediction. And if they sell in those circumstances, shame on them, and they won't do it.
So, look, this part of it, I agree with you on. I mean, they shouldn't sell. They shouldn't sell. A, you're in it, and B, I think the ramifications of selling are just, you know, potentially damaging, really damaging if they sell. So they shouldn't sell. I just don't agree with you that it's an absolute no. I think they would consider it.
No. Of course they'll consider it. They won't do it. I've been telling you all day that they want to do it in their heart of hearts. They'll consider it. Of course they'll consider it. They won't push the button. They won't do it.
I'm not convinced of that.
I am. They won't do it. They'll talk about it. They'll send out smoke signals. Like that Henry interview last week was a smoke signal. He wants to do it. And he's sort of laying the foundation. And maybe their plan is to do it. And I think players in that locker room think they're going to do it. I think that's true easily. That players think they're going to do it. Maybe there's front office chatter that we're going to do it. I'm not disputing any of that. I'm telling you, on the day, on August 2nd, they're in the postseason or a game or two out, and we're trading our third best hitter, JD Martinez, for futures. They won't go through with that. That's not going to happen. They're not going to do that.
No, there's no way they'll do it if they're in. There's no way they'll do it if they're in. But what if they're in last place and the Orioles pass them?
How many games out of the wild card are you?
Right now it's two.
No.
On that date. I think if they're 5 out and they're in last place.
They can't get to 5 games out.
Sure, they can.
I just told in 10 games, I don't think they'll lose that much ground.
Oh, they could easily lose 3 games in 10 games.
Lose 3 games
they're
in
already,
the standings?
They're already 2 out, Mike.
I know, Maz, because Seattle won 14 straight. Is Seattle going to keep winning 14 straight?
If Seattle goes 6-4 and you go 2-8.
Let's do the math on the air, shall we?
You just lost 4 games.
They're not going to lose that much ground.
Okay.
They're not going to lose that much ground. Matt in Maine. Go ahead, Matt.
Jim Murray is 100% right. They're going to come out of the break, and they're definitely just going to be a middling team. I don't think that they're going to move up or down the standings all that much, but that's exactly where ownership and Heim Bloom wants them. They're going to make a couple of really nothing moves just to say, hey, look what we did, like they did last year when they brought in big Chubb Austin Davis. And that's all they're going to do.
Okay.
Just so they can save faith, because Henry knows that they can't sell away J.D. Martinez and Bogarts and all of these guys because of the
– Agreed. You agree with me. This is what I'm saying. The Henry knows he can't trade J.D. Martinez with them in a pennant race. I'll put the pennant race in air quotes if you want. But he can't sell his third best hitter with his team in it, and he won't. So will they just make minor PR moves? Yeah, maybe. But you know what? Those minor PR moves last year kind of worked. If they do the equivalent this year of what they did last year, that might be enough. If they can add a bat equal to Schwarber, especially at that position, or even in right, and you get one or two bullpen arms, and you know, as much as Robles sucks and da-da-da, those guys were a factor, weren't they, Maz?
Yeah, I mean, I would say Robles was down the stretch. Robles was actually half-decent for him last year.
So if they do exactly that, they're in the playoffs with a chance to win some playoff games and go on a run. So We're saying the same thing, caller. Just, I, for some reason, you think you're disagreeing with me, but we're saying the exact same thing. That's what I think is going to happen. They're not going to sell. They're going to make a couple of middling moves that we're not going to like in real time, but because the algorithms tend to work out, will help the team, and they should have a shot. That's what I think.
But what leads you to believe that John Henry's really engaged with this? Because he spoke last week? Like, I just feel like, to me, he has told Chaim Bloom, you run this. It's your operation.
Oh, to the point where they sell one of their superstar players and lose ticket revenue? He's not that disengaged.
It's the summertime. The place is a tourist trap. They're still going to get asses in seats, regardless of who's on the team.
So the question then becomes, is J.D. Martinez a superstar?
It's just, you know what? It's not, you know, J.D. Martinez doesn't singularly sell tickets, Maz. You're right. It's the optics of...
Oh, the optics are horrible.
You're in the postseason and just traded your third best hitter. So take the name J.D. Martinez out.
Yeah.
And just replace it. This is what I've been saying all day. Replace it with third best hitter or second best hitter.
Yeah, I gotcha.
You know, you're going to sell one of your best offensive pieces in the middle of a pennant race? There's just no. They're not at that stage. They're not going to do that.
Okay, so again, I agree with you. I'm just not as sold as you are that they wouldn't do it. These guys, as much as they value the PR, they did trade Nomar. I mean, like, you know, it's not like it was a long time ago, but it's not like they balked at that one. I mean, they ultimately pulled the trigger on it. It
wasn't a money thing.
Well, it was a little bit. They couldn't re-sign him.
No, the guy was an a-hole.
Okay, but they had reason.
Betts.
Okay, Betts was before the season. They weren't in the middle of a pennant race, as we hashed out before, as I finally figured out that baseball preseason is February and not August. Okay, so they weren't in the middle of a pennant race when they sold Betts. Lester, they were out of it. Nomar, different, and you know it. A lot of different layers there.
I'm just telling you that they're not afraid to walk away from the big name. They're not afraid of that.
In the middle of a pennant race, they're not going to do it.
Okay, so that's it. Listen, that's a different dynamic. No question about it.
And there's
it.
Just not enough time. 10 games coming out of the All-Star break to the trade deadline. Not enough games to fall fully out of it.
There were only 7 last week.
Yeah, I know. It was a particularly bad week. I would assume it can't stay that bad, can it? It can't possibly be that bad. This last week was freaking atrocious.
Now I sound like Jones.
Use your words, Jones. Got more of your thoughts on this right after these words. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
I don't want to know what this means.
Felger and Mass.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, what? I don't know what that is.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pause.
1-1 is lined up the middle to right center for a base hit. And again, it went off a Boston glove. Sale is coming out. The run scores. Gleyber Torres. And Sale is heading right for the bench. A line drive hit off him and redirected in the hole between first and second. So Sale is being taken out. The Red Sox will have all the time they want to get a new pitcher in the game. Susan will look at the replay and tell you exactly where it hit him. Must have hit his hand, though.
That hit him right on the wrist. He looked at his hand. It went, let's see if we can see this again. It was a line drive right off his hand, right off the wrist. He's looking at his fingers, and he walked right off, and he just said, I'm out. And so...
Well, yeah. How unlucky.
Oh.
It hit him, and it redirected between first and second. So it's a base hit and an RBI for Hicks. Torres scores, and the Yankees have a 3-0 lead.
And you know what? They just have a close-up on his pinky finger, and it's all bent. It looks like that finger is either out of the socket that they are broken. Oh, my goodness.
No, that's a terrible break. Here's a guy battles so hard after 2 years to come back.
Sterling and Wallman showing pity. Well, that John Sterling, poor guy. I feel like the dude can't see. His original calls, it goes off a Boston glove?
Yeah.
A Boston glove?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that hit, John? Like, what glove are you talking about?
Bogart's up the middle.
Yeah. Is that off of Devers at third? Well, what do you mean off a Boston glove? It drilled right at the pitcher. Right at the pitcher. Right in the middle of the mound.
Scary.
But anyway, it's not his fault. He's, you know, older gentleman. Not the best eyesight myself. But either way, that play, Peter Abraham in the Globe. How about this? Peter Abraham in the Globe says that play tells you it's time to sell. The sickening sight of Chris Sale walking toward the visitor's dugout at Yankee Stadium, holding up his mangled left hand, felt like a coda for this Red Sox season. The beginning of the end. And Murray, you concur?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I want to see this nerd put to the test. And it feels like Chris Sale is like the canary in the nerd mine. Now you have the opportunity to strip this down, and let's see the Milikens of the world that hold Heim Bloom up as some sort of savior. Let's see him put to the test here. You really want to do this? You want to build it from the farm up? Then trade these guys away. And it also feels to me, this Peter Abraham thing also feels like, doesn't that feel a little bit informed? Like, Pete Abe, I don't mean this is like a knock on him. He's just as plugged in with that team as any other writer that covers them. Doesn't it feel like he almost got the green light to put that out there?
Kind of, sort of. The headline online, the paper headline is different. I always find it interesting why the headline in the print edition, which I guess I'm the only one that still reads, but when the headline in the print edition is different than the online edition, like, I always sort of wonder, what are you doing there?
Well, one space.
It has to fit. I know. But
never mind.
I know, no. But I what is it beyond that? Like, I don't know. Does it go out, you know, a suburban edition, early edition? Do they look at it and go, we probably want to change that. The old man's not going to like that, meaning Henry. Or I don't know. Because the headline in the online edition, loss of Chris Sale should put Red Sox into sell mode at MLB trade deadline. So here's John Henry's newspaper coming out after this saying in bold print in the headline, Red Sox should sell, and that injury with him went the season, writes Pete Abraham. It was a coda for this Red Sox season, the beginning of the end. So, yes, Murray, would I link those two? Why not? Why not?
I mean, he was the same guy after Brian Bayo's terrible start still saying, well, you know, look at the stuff. That felt like, hey, why don't you say something nice about the kid, because he is maybe our best pitching prospect. It looks like garbage, but talk about the stuff. This feels like, hey, you know, we are going to make some moves here. Or how about you put this out there so we can dip our toes in it and see what the response is?
So I don't think I wouldn't put that on Pete Abe, that he's just their puppet. That's not fair to him. I don't think that's going on. But I think he reads the tea leaves. And, you know, it really doesn't take Inspector Crusoe to read the tea leaves. Read John Henry's story last week to the Globe. That reeked of an owner that is ready to sell players, not sell the team, that is ready to sell at the deadline, not ready to invest heavily in this year's team, thinking of the future. He said it in black and white. So I don't think Pete or anyone else is really out of line in saying it feels to me it looks like they're gearing up to sell. I mean, they are. They are gearing up to sell. I'm just telling you they won't go through with it. They won't go through with it. That you won't let them. The business won't let them. They'll get to a point where they say, well, how is this going to impact Nesson? How is this going to impact the gate? How is this going to impact business? How does this play with our fans? We still have to deal with our fans. Heim Bloom and the nerds don't. Heim Bloom isn't responsible for selling tickets. And his nerds up there aren't responsible for selling tickets and TV ratings. But Sam Kennedy is, and other people are, and other people in that ownership group are. And when push comes to shove, they won't go through with it, and they won't sell. They will not do that.
So, look, generally speaking, I'm inclined to, you know, to lean that way. Like, I'd be surprised if they did it. But I don't put it at 0%. I don't. I just think this thing, Mike, on some level, they want to sell.
Yeah, no, on a lot of levels they want
to. They want to sell and go out and get those prospects and start the, start the rebuild, add to the rebuild.
What's J.D. Martinez really going to get you? But, I mean, let's just say even he gets you. You've already got a good system. You've got players coming. Presumably, you're ranking the top 10 or just outside of it in your system, and that was pretty quick. So it's coming either way. You have the system either way. So I don't think they will do it. I don't think they have the nerve, nor should they. As I keep mentioning to you, there's too many teams that have won it all recently that were out of it at some point in the middle to late in the year. that no one gave any chance to, that the Braves were the 10th of 10 playoff teams last year, etc., and on down the line. It's just too wide open in the postseason tournament now for you to consider selling if you're in it or just on the outside of it. All those teams should be interested in adding, and you will. You will add. You won't sell. Back to your thoughts. Tony and Stoneham. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, the Braves didn't have a team like the Yankees to face, though. Let me tell you something.
Sure they did. They had the Dodgers. They had to be going into that postseason prohibitive underdogs to the Dodgers. Sorry, yeah, Tony.
Me,
go ahead.
Let me tell you what the Red Sox are. You got five, maybe six batters that you can count on. And JD's got no power anymore. You got five or six pitches you can count on.
It's a lot.
And everything else is a gamble.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with it? It's not going anywhere. They're gonna have to be just as bad against the East teams when they play the rest of the season. They're going to beat up on some bad teams like they did in June. And they're not going to go anywhere. They have not got a team that can go anywhere. When you have to bend pinch hit the first baseman with JBJ or the other way around, that's a team you got.
That's a bad sign. But you said the exact same thing last year. Most of us did.
He's missing the point, too. How many guys does Seattle have in their lineup?
I was going to say five or six reliable hitters and five or six reliable pitchers. You're in business.
I mean, how many guys they have in their pitching staff? I like their bullpen, actually. But it's the same deal. You can do that with just about any team in the league. So the fact is that they're in the hunt. Okay, they're in the hunt. The question is, do these guys have the balls? And I say the balls, ownership and management. Henry, Werner, and Bloom, and Kennedy. Do they have the balls while they're in it to trade away a starting player? Call it who you want. Do they have the balls to do that? My gut would be no, that they wouldn't do that. But I wonder. I wonder if deep down they want to.
Of course deep down they want to. They won't.
But someday they'll give into that, because you know what? The attendance this year hasn't been that great anyway.
I know.
So like at some point you reach a stage where you say, well, what are we really costing ourselves here? The attendance on an average basis in that ballpark is the lowest it's been since when? And I'm excluding the pandemic. Like 2021, they finished with 1.7 million, but they played a third of the season, I think, without fans. So you got to throw that one out. The average crowd at Fenway this year has been about 32,000. We say, oh, that's pretty good. Except
for
the last full year, they were 35 plus. So they've come down 10% in attendance. TV ratings have been stuck where they are for the last year. The Yankees came in last September, and they did fives in the regular season. In the playoffs, they jump, but with the Yankees in here in a big September series, a five is low.
So let's do some quick math, Maz. Attendance is 1,386. Where's my number of home playoff dates?
They're averaging 32-something this year, 32.5, call it.
Okay, 32.5 times 81, please. I was hoping for calculator.
No, they'll come in at about 2.5 million.
2.5?
Last year they did 2.8 and change, I think.
Okay, so last year again wasn't, and I just don't remember, it wasn't full attendance to start the year, as you just said, was it?
Oh, no, sorry, you're right.
So look, the last time they had under 2.5 at the gate, I'm going back, hold please. The year 2000, they had 2.58 in the year 2000. In 1999, 2.4.
Never happened in this ownership.
So in this ownership, in this millennium, they have not had less than 2.5 million at the gate. I don't think they have an appetite for it. I don't think they're ready for it. And if they sell some of their best players when they're in the playoff hunt, it ain't going to get better. And I think those are the forces that are going to keep J.D. Martinez here, Nathan Eovaldi here, etc. That's what I think.
Okay, so now you want the flip side of that?
Sure.
What if they are resigned to the fact that they're going to end up under 2.5 now because this is the way the game's going?
Uh-huh.
And they say, we got to cut money.
I hear you.
What if that's what they want to do?
Okay, you're not going to say much on J.D. Martinez over the final 6 weeks of the year.
Okay, I'm just, playing the game, though. Start shipping it out now and get something for it, because you're going to cut him off the payroll at the end of the year anyway.
Well, look, I'm not sitting here telling you they're going to extend Bogart's endeavors. I'm not claiming that. I'd say the odds are against that right now. I'm just telling you, they're not going to sell in the middle of a pennant race. That's my mission statement today. And I'll say it for another 2.5 hours. I'll say it all week. They're not going to sell in the middle of a pennant race.
This will make a fun promo if they do.
They have not reached, they have not hit that new low. There's been a lot of new lows. John Henry blaming what he spends on nerds and support staff last week was another new low. They're not willing to go as low as actually selling in the middle of a pennant race.
I blame the nerds.
Here comes an update from Big Jim, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So are you saying he could pitch again this year?
I mean, hopefully, yeah. I mean, we just have to wait. We just have to wait. And the doctor is going to check him out, and we'll see.
Why are you laughing, Maz?
Shaughnessy asked the question the way Corey answered. I said he probably wanted to spit at him, like the way he said it. Shaughnessy's tone was, really? You think that? You think he's going to pitch? And Corey's like, well, we'll see.
I mean, why wouldn't he? Now, I've heard something else today, but at the time yesterday, it was a broken bone.
Oh, yeah. No. I think there's a chance he pitches again this year.
Broken bones are 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, no, I just meant the tone that Shaughnessy asked him. Yeah.
But, I mean, just do the math. If it's a broken bone, it's 4 to 6 weeks, and
Correct.
There's 2 to 3 turns. And, you know, he can be doing some work in that 4 to 6, not, you know, gripping it and ripping it, but...
September.
So he should be available sometime in September.
Yep. Not out of the realm of possibility. I think they'd be better off if it's a dislocation and not a fracture.
I hope it's for a series in Toronto.
Is that where
they wrap up?
That's a whole different animal. That is where they wrap up, Murray. So that would be good. I agree. So now look, if it's not a simple fracture, if there's something else, whatever, something that has to be operated on and the operation sets them back even further, et cetera, et cetera. But broken bones are 4 to 6 weeks. It's just what it is now. Pitching hand might be different. And if it's something else, it's something else. But I think there's I don't know. Corey's tone didn't sound too optimistic there. His tone was pessimistic. But just on the raw, you know, I think there's a shot. There should be a shot. And just to further my thing about, you know, every team's in it that's in it. I don't think people appreciate. I didn't fully appreciate. I mean, I knew the Braves sort of came out of the woodwork last year. But I don't know if you can fully appreciate just how badly they came out of the woodwork last year. And, oh, by the way, they lost their best player. They lost their best player during the year. Ronald Acuna Jr. went down. Season-ending knee injury on July 10th. At the All-Star break, they were a game under 500. So where the Sox are right now, the Braves had already lost their best player in Acuna, and they were a game under 500 at the All-Star break. And you know what they did at the trade deadline? They added. They brought in 4 veterans, Adam Duvall, Jock Peterson, Eddie Rosario, and Soler, Jorge Soler. Jorge Soler at the trade deadline. They added Rosario ended up winning the NLCS MVP, and Jorge Soler ended up winning the World Series MVP, and they won the championship.
Correct.
This happens in Major League Baseball.
Those were bold moves.
Well, I don't know exactly what they cost them.
Well, real moves. They weren't like...
No, they ended up being real moves. Were they really pricey at the time?
No, probably not. I mean, I don't remember exactly what they gave up. But, you know, Rosario was out there on the free agent market. Nobody wanted him basically this past off season.
So that's what I'm saying, Murray. They ended up being real moves because they produced in the postseason. But they weren't. I doubt they were huge expenditures.
That Soler deal had to be big.
It did?
Yeah.
Where is he now? Is he still there? So big, we don't even know who the guy is or where he is.
Well, now we care about the Braves because it helps your argument.
I don't. I'm just telling you. I don't think they quote unquote sold the farm on those. They just added where they needed it. Yes, Jimmy.
He's a Miami Marlin.
Yeah. So the Braves didn't even keep him. It's just a guy that they used to bolster the team because they were kind of sort of in it at the deadline. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Thank you, Stu, for the background on this. That no one had the Braves anywhere near the thing. Never mind their best player out in early July, a game under 500 at the All-Star break, and they added at the deadline. And they caught fire and won it all. That's where the... And I'm not telling you I think the Red Sox are going to win it all. Of course I don't think that. I'm just telling you, if you're in it in baseball, you should always, again, air quotes, go for it. You should always add and always give yourself a shot because it really is the thing now where anything can happen in that sport in the postseason.
Okay, so this gets into a different area, though, right?
And I feel like the Red Sox have more now than that Braves team did last year, but go ahead.
Okay, so we've been discussing now, should they sell or not sell, or will they sell or not? Does that mean they should add?
Yep.
Okay, so look, again, now to me, I think middling kind of moves like that, and that's what those moves were. Like Rosario and Soler were, yes. You know, they're pretty good major leaguers.
If you get a middling major league first baseman,
yes.
You know what a massive upgrade that is over what you have right now?
I agree.
So this is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not telling you that I'm not, you know, I understand what the value is of the game there. But the variable to me is ownership and management here. That's the variable. Are they going to extend? Because it doesn't feel to me like they've extended for this team all year long.
Well, this goes back to what the Braves gave up at that deadline. Did they really extend themselves? Or just they just make some mid-level moves and they caught fire? And I'm telling you, just mid-level moves? Just a mid-level move at first base and right field gives you a massive upgrade.
Huge!
If you can find a right fielder who can play the position and hit 250, 260, that's a massive upgrade over what you have right now. Same with first base. I'd hope for a little better production out of first base. But you know what I'm saying? That's not going to cost you much. Invest a little bit in the team and see what happens. That's what I would do. Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
Back in your face, suck it!
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Are you optimistic of being able to pitch again this year?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a broken bone. I've been there, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. Getting active again, moving around a little bit, and then we'll see from there. I'll meet with the hand specialist either tonight or tomorrow in Boston. Just, you know, go with what he says and see where we're at.
Still awaiting word on that. In the meantime, back to your phones as promised. Tom and Quincy, go ahead, please.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, you know, it's as tough as it was to watch Sale get hurt. You know, that wasn't on him. He's been snake bitten, man, the past few years, so that kind of sucks. But overall, with their play and what Tony was saying earlier, do they have the balls to sell off? I personally don't think they have the balls to sell off. My question, and maybe you guys can answer this, we know what needs to be done for this team to move on and be better for the second half of the year. But they covet these prospects that no one knows an effing thing about. And, you know, I grew up here. Tony and Jim grew up here. Mike, you've been here forever. Every year you hear about these guys. And it just so happens that over the weekend, I think it was Jake Groom was hyped in like 2016. And I saw highlights of him. He's still in Portland. So these guys have come along with this baggage of this banner of how good they're going to be in this. These are front of the rotation ace and this and that. We have yet to see that pan out since Lester.
That's right, Tom. And I would say it's not particular to here. Prospects are overrated across the board.
Totally.
Every year, every team. Some worse than others. Maybe this is worse than others. I don't know. But they're overrated, which doesn't mean they suck and doesn't mean you don't need them and doesn't mean some don't obviously develop. But the what's put into them and what actually comes out of it is not, that does not add up.
No, look, and I'll tell you, can I just because they're in the middle of the draft right now too, can I give you another thing that worries me?
Sure.
2 years ago in the draft, last year they had the number 4 pick and they took the kid who was some people regarded as number 1. Fine, Marcelo Mayer. Fine, no problem. The year before, they stretched on a couple of kids who weren't predicted to go later and took them in the second round and the third round. Really, the one in the second round was Nick York. That was the biggest one. So now they're taking a kid that people didn't have projected to go to later. And they did the same thing in this draft. They just took a kid at, you know, late in the, I think it was in the second round, late in the first. I'm getting my guys mixed up now, who wasn't projected to go to later in the draft. But they did the same thing. So it feels like there's this we're smarter than you thing going on.
Smartest guy in the room syndrome?
Dare I call it Belichickian or Bruins-esque? Like, it's starting to worry me a little bit.
Mike in Brookline, go.
First of all, I hope you guys had a much more pleasant week off than the Red Sox did on your vacation, because they were on vacation last week. And I personally think that they should sell the guys that they have no intention of re-signing, like a J.D. Martinez. If they have no, I mean, what does he hit? 7 home runs?
Should the Braves have sold Freddie Freeman last year? Because they were a game under 500. They weren't going to re-sign him, and they were going nowhere. So they could have traded Freddie Freeman, got a nice haul of prospects. Said they kept him, played it out, and won a World Series. So, sorry, Mike. I know it makes sense to say it right now. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it unless you were out of it. And you're not out of it. And let me tell you something. You're not going to be out of it on August 2nd either. Judy and Dalton. Go ahead, Judy.
Hi. This is for Felger. How do you feel about Cutter Crawford and Ripsider and about getting rid of Cora and putting somebody in there that knows something about a team?
All right. Let's fire the manager. We don't get those nearly enough. That used to be like the first call out of the chute. Boy, back in the day, Red Sox go 1-7, 1-6 in 7 games against the division. Play 2 games like that against the Yankees. The first call out of the chute is fire the guy.
Yeah, fire the skipper.
Doesn't happen anymore. It's unfortunate.
No, okay. Look, I'm surprised it took the... Go ahead, Jimmy.
We did a lot of work to get rid of this fire the manager thing during the Francona thing. Touch Francona, can't touch Alex Cora, sorry.
Look, it's not an unreasonable thing to bring up. It's not going to happen. He's got 2 more years on the contract.
It's unreasonable.
But the team checked out.
I mean, I'm not firing him, but they quit yesterday. 16 strikeouts, no walks. That's a team that's quitting.
I mean, they went 1-6 in the final week before the first half ended.
How many dumbass, no-chance throws have you seen in the infield?
A lot.
In just the last week?
A lot.
I mean, and I'm not cutting Devers or firing Cora, but there's a malaise on the team. I got a good email on this. You want to draw a line somewhere?
Draw pop-ups, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, garbage. Here's one. Hey, guys. Since Alex Spear's John Henry article in the Globe, the Sox have gone 1-4. And let's, again, remember, the one they pulled out of their ass, that Yankees on Friday night, the win on Friday night where the Yankees left, it was either the bases loaded or runners on third with less than 2 outs in each of the last 2 innings. Anyway, you're lucky to win that game. The Sox went 1-4 since that Henry article and were outscored 40-13, including getting their D's kicked in twice on back-to-back days, as well as losing their quote-unquote ace for probably the rest of the regular season. That's some brilliant karmic justice. Henry whines about the cost of nerds, and the season goes into the crapper faster than a Taco Bell meal. It's tremendous. Love the show, Ryan. So, since Henry opened his yapper and started complaining about what he pays the sports science guy, it'd been a totally dead-ass team.
I mean, you want to get even uglier than that, because I think the problems were well before that. Go and look at some of their wins. The last 4 or 5 wins that they've had, the Cubs threw the ball away in one of those games, completely blew the game on that play.
The Rays did one.
The Rays did it twice. The Yankees were dropping pop-ups when they were here in a couple of those losses. They haven't legitimately, and then the Yankees have shot themselves in the foot on Friday night.
And you could, I'm positive, say the exact same thing about the Atlanta Braves last year at various points in their season.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, they haven't legitimately, again, I'm not telling you this relates to that or not. I'm just talking about the way they're playing. They haven't played well since the end of June.
Dog food. Tommy and Lynn, go.
What's up, boys? This is what I got to say about this team. Felger, they shouldn't be sellers. They got to invest. They got to buy. They got to get some players here. They got to invest a little bit. Who would you want them to get? They need bullpen help, and they need a legit first baser that can hit. And also, my men's league team could beat up on this team right now the way they're going.
Okay, you're right, Tommy. I would take your team with the points or whatever. The the actual players to go get? I'm going to defer to our baseball expert on that. Who should they go get?
Well, look, the name you're hearing a lot at first base is Josh Bell.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah, he's a switch hitter, and, you know, they need a first baseman. But again, so I come to this. They've needed a first baseman for 2 years. So they acquired one at the deadline last year, then they let him walk. They're going to do it again?
Yes.
So for a team that values minor leaguers, does that make any sense that you have to keep spending minor leaguers at the deadline to go out and get a first baseman?
If it gets them to the minor leaguer they really care about in Cassis, I guess. If it doesn't make sense or not, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't.
Boy, that's a hell of a bridge. When's Marcelo Mayer come? Let's build that bridge for 6 years.
Oh, they're about to. Mike in Alabama, go ahead.
2025.
Hey, Mike. So I think it's funny that if you look at the last 2 years, that you got rid of Bradley, which was probably the best thing we did, but then we bring him back and get rid of Renfro. You lose Kiki. You lose Benintendi. You lose Pedroia. You lose Schwarber. Bogarts is on the way out. Devers is on the way out. You're going to lose your starting catcher and Vasquez and your best pitcher for the last 2 years. And Evaldi are all leaving. Heimblum needs to go with them.
Okay. You still want Dustin Pedroia out there? Like, we're going to blame Heimblum for Dustin Pedroia? Why are you putting him on that list?
No, I don't blame him for Dustin Pedroia. And I'm less concerned about what's going out than I am about what's coming in.
Fair enough.
That's the part that worries me. What is coming that we can say is the answer?
If it's just a truckload of Jeter Downses and Franchy Cordero's, and
be afraid.
Bobby Dalbox, you're porked.
Yes, be afraid. Be very, very afraid. When they had Betts, Bogarts, Devers, you know, even Bradley at that time, when they had all those guys coming, that felt a little different. Like, that was, okay, these guys can play.
I don't know what's coming. I mean, if I'm going to go based on your top prospect I've seen, I think he kind of sucks in Bayo, but that's not a final analysis. But if that's the best you have to offer, yeah, you can be afraid. Lucas in Maine, go.
Hey, guys. Long day. Hope you guys are doing well. I'm here with COVID. I wish I could call more, but I guess I can get out of work because I don't have COVID right now. But basically, I was thinking in, like, first off.
Lucas, give me the point quickly. I don't mean to be rude. Go ahead.
No, you're good. Basically, I was just mostly curious of Jake Groom. Like, where is he in his development?
Okay, I'm going to stop there. Boy, if that's not the, like, poster boy for a Maynard with COVID, I don't know what is.
No. He was. I'm surprised he lasted that long.
It slows him down even more.
Yeah, no, you should have.
A lot of time on his hands, now extra time on his hands.
I didn't know the Maynard could go any slower. They're generally the slowest that we have to deal with. That stopped him dead in his tracks.
Yeah, I would have pushed the button on that guy like, hey, guys, slow day.
I'm a kind-hearted guy, man. Answer his question now. Who did he ask about again?
Jay Groom. Yeah, going nowhere.
Is he in Worcester now?
He just tossed 6 scoreless innings in his AAA debut in Worcester.
Great. Terrific. He'll get here in some.
He's on the come.
Last one real quick. Nick in East Longmeadow. Go. I said East and Longmeadow. Nick in East Longmeadow. He said, comment line, Red Sox, no way to trade Evaldi when half pitchers called up are hurt. They're not going to trade Nathan Evaldi. They're not going to trade J.D. Martinez. They're not going to trade one of their best pitchers and one of their best hitters in the middle of a pennant race.
They're
not going to do that.
If they go 4-7 or 3-8 before the trade deadline, will you agree to sell?
No.
Ugh.
Because they'll only be, at worst, 3 or 4 games out of the wild card. For me to think.
I demand you say sell if they go that poor. If they suck that bad before the trade deadline.
It all depends. Again, if you said that about the Braves last year, they wouldn't have won it. And I'm going to keep hanging my hat on that one because it fits my argument perfectly. It's rare that there's a recent example that fits an argument so perfectly as the Braves. And I'm not telling the Red Sox, like, I'm predicting them to win or anything. I'm just telling you, you shouldn't give up on teams that are in the hunt in baseball because they all come out of the woodwork now. Most of them do. So if they go, you said 3-8?
Yeah.
If they go 3-8, I don't think they'll be more than 4 games out of the wild card. I don't think Seattle's going to come out winning 14 straight like they went in winning 14 straight. So I think no matter how badly they play, barring an 0-11, that they're going to play themselves out of it by August 2nd. They're going to be in it at August 2nd. They're going to be in it. And they will not, nor should they sell at that point.
Yeah, I told you, I wouldn't sell. But I don't know what the hell they're going to do now, and I fear that they might.
Okay, we've done two straight hours of Red Sox. We'll continue with Red Sox. Don't go anywhere if you're on the line. We're just going to break it up a little bit, getting to those LeBron James comments about Boston. You got someone else up your ass now, and not just someone, like the guy calling you out. That's on the table. A couple Patriots thoughts. Oh, and LeBron also said something about Tatum that we want to play you that I did not hear yesterday, nor have I heard it yet. So we'll get to that as well. First, Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Even when they are in front of cameras, frankly, but I do think that's not an inaccurate representation.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.